God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our gospel reading as we hear of Jesus raising someone from the dead. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but our text also has another very popular Bible verse in it. It's known as the shortest verse in the English version of the Bible. The verse is verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, I will admit this is considered the shortest verse, and I have to qualify that in the English version, because in the Greek it's actually two words, and there's actually a couple verses that only have one word. But that being set aside for a moment, we can pick up a very interesting particular point. Too often with this short verse of Jesus weeping, very often we superimpose that upon our own lives. And we start thinking that maybe emotions and feelings are not necessarily good. And so we like to compact those feelings. What am I kind of illustrating to? Well, the concept here is that when Jesus wept, he didn't just shed one tear. But as the scriptures say, he was deeply moved. His spirit was moved. He wept. It wasn't just one token tear, but he was greatly troubled. Too often as Christians, we let our head take over an awful lot of us when death comes. When death comes, are we not greatly moved? And yes, we sometimes hear, and we may even sometimes say as dearly Christians, that yes, the beloved who has just died is now in a better place, is now with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is now in peace without any pain or suffering. And this is very, very true, but notice that wasn't the first response out of Jesus when he saw Mary and Martha. He wept, he cried, and the gospel reading for today notes that he was greatly moved. Not just some token tear, but God cried. You see, we have to realize that Jesus is true man and true God. And as true man, he's going to have these feelings. As true man, he is going to be moved by a death of a loved one. And as true man, he is going to cry, not just one tear, but many tears. As true God, yes, he also knows how loving and gracious his Father is in heaven above. He knows that, yes, people who do die in the faith are in paradise. He understands that he himself is the resurrection and the life. So this day, as we take a look at when God cried, we have to ask ourselves, what's going on here and how does this apply to me? It's great that Jesus cried, isn't it? At the death of a loved one. But now, can I be considered a loved one? Does Jesus really care about what's happening in my life? Is he moved to tears when something tragic happens to my life? Or is it just, you know, the select few who are in Jesus' midst? Now, I will admit, the gospel for today does note that Jesus did have a special relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But now I have to beg the question, do we not also have that similar relationship? Are we not also special to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? And some of you may say, you know, we never really shook hands with him. We never really dialogued. We never talked about the weather. Well, fair enough. But now think about what God has already done for you. If we go back to the time when we were baptized, what happened with that baptismal event? God's name is placed upon you. You now are marked, so to speak, are tattooed, watermarked, however you want to describe it. You now bear the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God gives his name to you. And as a result, you are now adopted sons and daughters of God. And I have to ask you, if you ever known a parent who has lost a loved one, especially when that loved one is their own child, ask them how difficult that was. And so what happens to any parent whose little one is now suffering or in any type of pain? Are they also greatly moved? Are they also disturbed in the spirit? And the answer is yes. Now, if we are dearly beloved children of God through baptism, wouldn't God also feel the same emotions and feelings as a loving parent would? Again, the answer is yes. But let me continue down this path, because I'm not done making this beautiful relationship between us and God. This relationship between us and God still continues. As we come to the Lord's table, we actually eat at that table. We consume bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. This special table fellowship is for those who are in the family of God, who truly believe and understand what's going on with that bread and wine. It is the body and blood of Christ. It is given for the forgiveness of sins. You are special because you are in this relationship. This is just not some ordinary relationship. This isn't just like going to McDonald's and having something to eat. This is a special relationship in which Christ gives of himself for this relationship. If that being said and done doesn't convince you, then I have to ask you, picking up the words of our text, as Jesus sort of challenges Mary and Martha, saying, do you believe? Do you truly trust in the resurrection of the dead? Do you truly believe that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, and that, yes, he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and yes, he rose again on the third day? We'll be coming to those events as we celebrate Good Friday and the Feast of the Resurrection, Easter. If you can truly believe that God took on flesh and blood, lived among us and died, and on the third day he rose again, then you can truly believe and trust in the promises of God, which also includes the day when God cried. And not just for Lazarus. God is concerned for all people, for all are his creation. When Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed his creation. And now let's shift gears for a little bit, for a second, because we want to talk about what does it mean to be redeemed. You see, in our own view in today's society, when we see someone die and come back again, you know, we may see pictures on TV of resuscitation, CPR being done, or some other things being done to revive the person, and the person comes back to life. Praise God. But notice what happens in our text. There's a little bit more going on here. Yes, Lazarus is dead, and as our gospel reading for today says, he was dead for 4 days. And the gal's reaction after Jesus said, open the tomb, was, Jesus, he stinks. He smells. They didn't have embalming techniques as we do today. But notice what happened. Jesus is not worried about whether he stinks, because Jesus knows what he does is not just resuscitation, but you could call it revitalizing, restoring. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they uncut the bounds, the binding around him, they didn't sit there and hold their nose and going, wow, he just really reeks. Go down to the river, Lazarus, and wash and bathe, please, and then come back. No. Scripture notes that they were concerned about him smelling, but then they never smelt the odor. Why? Because Jesus restores. He is concerned. He is concerned even whether his friend stinks or not. The answer is yes. It's important. What can we take from this? Plain and simple, Christ is concerned with what happens in our lives. He also may be shedding tears when we also shed tears. He also is moved the way we are moved. Why? Because we are His dearly beloved children. And as the Son of Man, Son of God, has feelings and emotions for those whom He loves, God also has feelings and emotions for you. So don't take this shortest verse in the Bible, the day when God cried, Jesus wept, and think, okay, God just shed a tear. God truly understands and knows what goes on in your life. He is there to strengthen you and to encourage you with His word and sacraments. He's there to lift you up, and He's also there to cry with you, to comfort you, to be that Savior for you. So this day we rejoice. We don't have some stoic God and Savior who is up there in heaven above, who doesn't care about what's going on in your lives. We have a God who is moved to tears, who does cry, who does have feelings for you. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.